Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we are going to continue in our short series of studies, the Christian goals for you and for me, if we know the Lord. Now, we considered on our last broadcast the goal of faith, that is to know Christ. And then today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the goal of love, and that is to be with Christ. That is the goal. And then, on the next broadcast, the goal of hope, to rest in Christ, to know Christ, to be with Christ, to rest in Christ. And today we want to consider something about aiming our love, our desires toward Him who loved us. We love Him because He first loved us and gave Himself on the cross of Calvary, dying for our sins, receiving our stroke of judgment, that we might be with Him forever. Now, is that the goal of our love? There are many things that press in to our lives to demand our attention, but we need to get quiet with the Lord. We need to just realize that He wants to be a lover to us. We read, for instance, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, these words, and we'll just read them, and then we will turn to the context to set them in their pure light. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is pleading. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. Here he's doing three things. He's standing. How long do you keep a person standing at your door? Don't you think that perhaps the sooner you answer the door, the more sure they are that you want them to come in? I think so. And here we have, he's standing at the door and he's knocking. Now he knocks through circumstance. He knocks through His Word. There are many ways that the Lord can reach us and get our attention. But He wants our attention, and He wants our goals to love Him. Now, as a matter of fact, this is in the book of Revelation that we just quoted. Now, in the book of Genesis, in the third chapter, God came down in the cool of the day to fellowship with Adam and Eve. But they had just taken the forbidden fruit, and they were conscious of the fact that God told them not to do it. He commanded them not to do it, and they did it anyway. Eve was deceived, and Adam followed her. Okay, they tried to cover up with fig leaves. They knew they were sinners. And God came down in the cool of the day, in the evening, to fellowship with them. And He couldn't find them. And He says, Adam, where art thou? And Adam says, well, Adam admitted his sin. And you know, God is making that call ever since that time. Adam and the children of Adam, where are you? I want to have fellowship with you. That's the way the Bible opens. And here's the way the Bible closes. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and he will sup with me, or sup with him rather, and he with me. God wants to get our attention. He wants to aim our desires. Love indeed has demand, places its demands upon us. Love wants to be responded to, and the love of Christ wants us to love Him because He first loved us and gave Himself to die on that cross for our sins. We read, for instance, in the Ephesian epistle, there in the 25th verse, it's a familiar verse, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, think of this, if you will, please. Love the church. It's the love of a man for his bride. How great that love is. He loved the church and gave Himself for it on the cross. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote this, wrote Ephesians 3:20, I am crucified with Christ, Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The fact that God gave, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself to die for you and me on the cross, doesn't that touch our hearts? He wants to have fellowship with us. Now, as I said before, let's see how this fits in the context of the third chapter of Revelation. This is a part of the letter of the Spirit of God, of the Lord Jesus, through the Spirit of God, unto the church at Laodicea. He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. They took their Christianity very calmly and very lackadaisically, if I may say so. Now listen to what he says. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And that included the Lord. Really, they were nominal Christians, but not true born-again Christians. They were simply nominal, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. This church was entirely materialistic. Aren't we materialistic in the world today? We are loving everything but Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. Now, how will that love react toward our Lord Jesus? We've got some scriptures and we might see that reaction. He says in John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Well, now there's a test of his love. Do we love him enough to keep his word? He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking his commandments. Now, I don't expect them to be different, but the responsibility is different. They kept the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament because it was fatal if they didn't, in some instances, rather. But the Lord Jesus, we keep his commandments out of love. They served him out of fear. We serve the Lord out of love. There are other scriptures that will bear that out. We'll try to read them. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then he wants to share our interests with it. We read in the Colossians, the book of Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, this has the force of since ye be then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, not on materialistic values. And then he goes on to say, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory. He wants mutual answer, and love presupposes mutual interests. Are we interested in Christ? Are we interested in his plan and his service? Now, we need to be motivated by that love. In 1 John 4:19, we read there, the Apostle John writing to his beloved children in the Lord, we love him because he first loved us. And we read also in 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That's a very strong word. It means straining. With straining. If we love Christ, with straining. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Now here is the motivation of the Christian life and service to the Lord. The love of life of Christ constraineth us. Do we love him? Are we proving it by our lives? Are we proving it by our works? Certainly this is worthy of our consideration. Love motivates our service for the Lord. Then we read in John 15 and 12 where the Lord is speaking, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And then we've already had the admonition, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." The Lord Jesus Christ wants our love, and we want to be with people whom we love. And that's why he's standing at our heart's door and knocking. The story is told about the painter that painted Christ knocking at the heart's door. He's knocking at a literal door, but it's the heart's door in reality. And he's standing there with fierced hands as he clenches that fist to knock on the door. You see the wounds in his hands. And this artist invited a friend over to be critical of his picture. And the friend looked at it for a while, and he says, "I don't see any doorknob on that door." "Oh," he says, "this door must be opened from within." Yes. Do we open the door? Do we give time? Does our love for the Lord, is our goal to be with him? Do we give time that we might open the door for him? Something to think about. Is our goal love? And if it is, it's to spend time with Christ. Now there's one more scripture that I want to read that has a terrible implication. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. And Paul, the Apostle Paul closes that epistle with these words, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." And anathema means let him be accursed. We've all been exposed to the love of Christ. Have we responded to that love? Notice, please, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema, maranatha. And the word maranatha means the Lord cometh. Now, this is something to think about. That love of his for dying for us on that cross and receiving the stroke of judgment that we should have received, if that won't generate love, Paul says, let him be accursed. Let's think about that and establish a goal in this respect. Father, we do thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus, who loved us in the degree that he did. Help us to love him more in return. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.